We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Looking at numbers as we go off into hour number two here, I'm looking at these numbers for the amount of sunshine, daily sunshine on a south facing roof, say in the 24 mm-hmm. degree north latitude or the 32 degree north latitude, or That's the kind of thing that you're going to figure out just by your need, right? I mean, whether or not you can even realistically expect to meet it where you're at, because depending on how far you are away from the equator, you're going to get less and less days. And that's where having the ability to store a bunch of energy that you create is going to be important, having the right battery sizes. A lot of questions to consider when building. How long have you been running your system?
It's I've been running, it constantly evolves. I even bought a new generator this last week to replace a smaller one, but it constantly evolves. So I've been doing this since about 2011. I haven't paid an electric bill since 2011. I have no relationship with the electric company whatsoever here. Something that you said, roof, and the answer to that is no. You don't want these on your roof for so many reasons. If you are, the only scenario where that would be acceptable is if you are near the equator, where you don't need to tilt your panels, where you have access to those panels to clean them, then maybe that's a good idea. Your roof is new, of course.
That's a big failure of a lot of people that have invested in it in the modern era, is that they have just put panels up on their roof that they really don't have access to, that they can't clean, that they can't repair, because they don't even know anything about them because they didn't put them in themselves.
That's the other thing. I mean, if you're going to, there's two ways to do solar. One is the call up a company. They're going to ask you what your electric bill is, and they're going to come out and spend, you're going to spend between, you know, $30,000 and $40,000 for this. And they'll tell you, oh, it'll pay itself back in X amount of months, which is true. It'll pay itself off in, say, 5 years or so. But the real thing is, you know, there's a lot better ways to use energy in your house. You know, like mine have all these LED bulbs, for example. You know, I have pretty much I run fans until it's hot enough to where I have to turn on the air conditioning. But that's, you know, learn how to use power a little bit more wisely. Yes, I have, you know, I use gaming computers, but I don't just leave them running 24/7. You know, when I'm gaming, I'm gaming. When I'm not, I'm not. But I'm in Ohio, which has, and you're way far north. And when you live in an area that's not near the equator, the sun's angle is going to tilt, you know, with the azimuth is going to change, and it gets really severe in the winter time here. Our panels are angled about 16 degrees from vertical. I mean, they're almost facing flat up, almost straight up. If you see any of the off-grid Alaska shows, you'll see their panels are vertical. because that's how they have to catch the sun.
Sure.
And then, and yes, you can have solar in Alaska even. I mean, it's certainly you have a generator for your winter months, but in your winter months, you can run solar. Whereas in June here, like on June 21st, which is, you know, the summer solstice, of course, the panels are laying 14 degrees from the ground. So, I mean, it's that severe. It's almost a, you know, it's a huge change. So every couple months, we'll go out there and change the angle of the panels to make it, you know, produce more power. And we're in Ohio. It snows here, not often, but it does. And when it snows, if you have a bunch of panels sitting up on your roof, you know, the next question is, hey, when's it going to thaw? And you have no idea. In the wintertime, it may take months.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, we can just walk out and just sweep them off. So I'm a big fan of the rack system, where you just stick them on a rack. I built my own racks. You can build them out of wood, metal, anything you want. And you just want to make them adjustable so that they face, you know, right at the sun. And you move them every couple months, and that fixes it.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes sense. It was always funny to me. It was always obvious that most of the people that were putting solar on their homes weren't really thinking about it. They were just thinking about that, oh, I can get that bonus from the electric company. They weren't really thinking about their usage and about their need. They were just following a fad and a trend.
Well, you know, and something else about economics, the government has been giving people these tax credits for putting mm-hmm. solar on their house. And the end result of that has been the solar companies have been gobbling up those credits. You don't get them as a consumer. That's just jacked the price of the solar panels up. So what they tell you is, oh, okay, you know, this is going to cost you $28,000, but you get a tax credit. And that'll make it, you know, $23,000 this year. And then just think of all the money you'll make selling it back to the electric company. Mm-hmm. Most people are not aware that there are several parts to their bill. One of the things that is a part of your bill is the delivery charge,
right,
which, you know, you think, I'm using X kilowatt hours, and that should cost as much. It does, but then they tack on a delivery charge and innumerable fees and taxes and everything else. And, you know, I believe I'm a pretty well-educated person, but electric bills confuse me. And yeah, if they're confusing me, I'm worried. You know, that's not good.
Yeah, it's like trying to read Greek, as they say, I guess. I don't even look at my bills. I just pay them. I think that's probably what most people do. They just assume. I'll go and look at the options that my Evergy, that's who handles mine. I'll go and look at their options on the website, you know, and they have things where I can try to maximize my savings by distributing my usage, so I get a more like a flat bill every month based on a guesstimate of how much I'm going to use during a certain month. And if I exceed it, I guess the penalty is ridiculous. I don't know. It never looked like a good deal to me.
And so, it's so complicated, and that was the other thing I like, is I don't have to deal with that anymore. It's a wonderful feeling. I don't get a bill and look at it. And also, it makes a very visceral connection between what is running in your house and the usage, because on an off-grid system, you know, on an on-grid system or on a no-grid, I mean, a no-solar system, you know, you turn this on and you don't really know what it uses, and your electric bill goes up, and you're like, looks like the bill's a little high this month, and you pay it, and that's it. And it creates a total disconnect between the user and the electricity in the house. Yeah. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, I guess the biggest thing to me is the frailty of the system.
Yeah.
I live on a street that's known for racing, and last year had a car plow itself right into the phone pole, electric pole right in front of my house. And that, you know, that kind of stuff can knock your power out, and suddenly you're helpless. It's a horrible feeling, and it's one that I don't ever have to worry about again.
Well, you talk about bringing the disconnect. It is a bad thing. It's a bad thing for people to be disconnected from the results of their actions. That's part of the problem that we have with waste in general, whether it's wasted water, wasted electricity, any of these notions of wasting the things that we use, is that we're disconnected from how much of them we use and the importance of how hard it is to actually round these things up and bring them together. And just building the solar should create a new bond and a new understanding between an individual and their reality and their earth, the solar system that they live in. They're actually using that solar energy as part of their life and counting on it. I would think that there's, you know, without being too hippy dippy, brings you a little bit back to nature. You know,
I get. You know, that's one of the. Speaking of hippy dippy, one of the things that gets me into conversations about anarchy with people is that, you know, I tell people, yeah, I live in an off-grid house, and, you know, it's just a regular house. There's nothing, you know, it's not a tiny home. It's not a, you know, an extravagant home. It's just your generic little house. And, it's just makes its own power. And the people are like, wow, that's so cool. The liberals I speak to really love that idea, and that'll get me into a conversation. They'll immediately go to politics after that, and I say, well, I like my politics kind of like I like my electricity. I like to be in charge of them, and that makes them think.
That's great. It's nice to that. It's a perfect example to even talk about, because you don't have to start using words that scare people. You can just talk about, yeah, I control my own electricity. I am master of my own juice.
Yeah, that gets it started, and they think, you know, they identify with that and they like it. Like, yeah. Wow, that's really cool. And I'm like, yeah, it really is cool. And you know, and there's some politicians out there, like in Florida, trying to screw it up by mandating that you have to be on the grid. And one of the biggest questions I get asked is, isn't that illegal?
Huh.
And I'm like, well, first of all, no, but what kind of world do we live in where it is illegal, like Florida? I have a friend that lives down there who, when he said, oh, I got solar on my house, and I said, off-grid or on-grid? Oh, you have to be on the grid in Florida. And my response was, you need to be able to be off-grid just in case something happens. And this is right before that hurricane came and just wiped everything out. And even his solar installer and I got into an argument. He's like, well, the longest time anybody in Florida is out of power is 3 days. I'm like, hurricanes? Like, have you noticed them? And after that conversation, the hurricane comes, it wipes him out. He's offline for 3 days. And I said, so we thinking about a battery bank now, maybe, possibly? Because one of the things that most people who are on grid don't know is that if the electricity goes down, they turn your solar panels off too. And they do that so that you're not feeding electricity into the grid when they think the lines are dead.
Yeah.
So it's a safety thing for them, but it ultimately turns out to be a very authoritarian tool to shut off your electricity. If electricity's out, you're in California and you're mandated to have solar panels, well, you know, they shut off your power, they're shutting off your solar panels too. So to me, that's kind of terrifying.
That's not freedom in any sense. I mean, you know, let's be serious. If you have to do anything, if you have to participate in anything, there's a lack of freedom at the basic understanding of the word have to. Because if we're talking about politics, if we're talking about laws, then that means that somewhere somebody has to enforce it, right? And when you enforce a law, the bottom underlying thought is that if you ignore that long enough, if you ignore the enforcement of that law long enough, eventually somebody will kill you over it.
Yes.
That's scary. My own electricity.
Yes. They'll do that.
I wonder...
That is, unfortunately, it's becoming part of the American psyche that, right. You know, that there's somebody once told me a long, long time ago, the difference between American law and British law. American law tells you what you can do. Here, you have these rights. British law tells you has a big list of what you can't do. And people are very obsessed over there with what you can't do. If you recall the Monty Python skit Fish License, where the guy demands a license for his pet fish because you need one for a dog or whatever else, or a cat or whatever else you have there. People ask me all about the solar stuff. You know, do you need this license or that? It's like, well, you know, definitely have an electrician check your stuff out. That's just wisdom. But otherwise, you know, you can pretty much set up. And, you know, there are cities that require permits. I live way out in the country, so I don't really have that issue. But there are, you know, it's pretty, right now, pretty much set it up and go.
I imagine that in my city where you can light your backyard on fire anytime you want, you probably can't just put up solar and tap into your home anytime you want. That would be my guess.
Well, I definitely wouldn't bring in any attention to myself by asking directly. I would definitely do a third-party way of finding out, maybe internet or have somebody else go down and ask. I try to stay avoidant of government as much as possible.
That's the best way to handle these things. What is this saying about? I can't think of it. Something about doing it now and paying for it later. I don't know.
Always better to do something and get caught than to ask permission first.
Go ahead and be wrong in making the decision that you made and then have to be told no. Any of these ideas of just sort of, I look at it as thinking for yourself and doing the thing that's smart and right. And when you don't violate somebody else, to me, that's all I'm not intruding on my neighbor's property by putting up solar panels in my property. I don't see any way that happens. I don't know if I like tried to build it up and over his house and over his property, maybe. But I just don't see how putting some solar panels in my own backyard or something like that should be of anybody's concern. But we know that's not the truth. We know that's reality is that they do. I mean, they come and they tell you. I was just talking about it earlier in the show about how they come in and tell you what plants you can plant and exactly where you can plant them. We got to go into a break and then we'll come back and we'll wrap it up here with Chuck Lee on Toward Anarchy.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
We are back, and as always, we have to wrap this thing up. It comes to a close. It just does. My guest, Chuck Lee, been hanging out with us talking about off-the-grid solar. If you go to towardanarchy.com, if you look for October 11th, I shared the links to his Skunkerific Repair, computer sales, repair upgrades, all the things that they do. And, of course, it's on the Facebook as well as on the web. And you can find Chuck that way, just trace him down that way if you want to talk to him some more about this solar stuff. Any last thoughts on it, anything of it that we didn't actually hit on that we should, though?
Yes. Okay. The biggest resource that I've used, you asked earlier, you know, where do I get started? You can ask me. I have the experience. Also, I got a lot of information from a website called solarpaneltalk.com. And there is, about halfway down the page, it talks about off-grid solar panel systems. A lot of really good information on there, but these people that are dispensing the information are very burned out by people who have done before they've researched.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest thing I can warn anybody about on off-grid solar is research first, do second, and listen to what people tell you. There are all kinds of things out there designed to take your money for cheap. And, you know, you say, oh, this looks like a really good deal. Hey, I saw the solar panel at Harbor Freight. You know, what do you think? Well, I think it's got a life of 5 years. It puts out a third the power it says it puts out. And it's a piece of junk. Don't buy it. You know, for another $50, you can get a quality panel that actually puts it out, you know, what it says it is, and lasts 25 years. So definitely check that out if you like, or just contact me either way.
Well, that's just a lesson that everybody should learn, is that you're shopping, and you should always be shopping. You shouldn't just assume that that if it's right there, that if it's in reach, that it has a brand name, whatever it is, you shouldn't just assume that that's okay, that'll be the way to go. You really should do your research. And when you're talking about something like this, we're talking about a sizable investment. I mean, what's the average panel cost of any decent quality?
Mine are 300 watt panels, and I paid $200 a piece for them. I have 9 of them. So there's 1800 in the panels there. My batteries cost me, a little bit over 1200. My charge controller was 600. The wire was 200. And the inverter was only 300. And that was one of the places where you can save money by buying an inexpensive model from China. There's places you can save money, and there's places you can't. I didn't spare a penny on my wire. That's where I definitely didn't skimp.
Yeah, the transmission part right there. The difference in the inverters is there's a couple of different types, right? And some are better for different types of energy applications. Is that true?
Yeah, the square sine wave, the cheap stuff that you'll find at Harbor Freight or whatever, those are. Those have square sine waves that come out of them, and they'll run things like computers or, you know, stuff like electronics just fine, but they will not run your refrigerator. It'll burn out your motor. So you need a pure sine wave, which drastically jacks up the price. So, yeah, don't get a cheap, you know, you can get them from China, get them at less money, but you don't want to get a cheap square wave one at all.
And that's good. I'm glad that you clarified that, because that is a big importance. And if people don't understand that, they'll be thinking, oh, well, I have to run my computer, I have to run my laptop, I have to be able to charge my phone to stay in touch with people, and forget about the refrigerator and realize that it just doesn't run the same way.
Yeah, it won't run an induction motor. Like, you can't vacuum your house with that. You know, it just won't work.
Very good piece of information to have. And I think that the best piece of information is do that shopping. It really is. Go out and understand what your needs are, and then compare what's out there to your needs. It's really not – it sounds so basic, but I think that so many people just don't do it. I think they just pick up the phone book, and I know that used to be the way things are done. You just grab the phone book, and the first guy with the AAA in his name – was able to get at the top, and you called him because he was the best, right?
And quality, in at least in the technology world, and I, you know, that isn't always the case for solar, but in the technology world, the amount of advertising spent on the item is inversely proportional to the quality almost every time. I mean, almost without exception. In solar, there are some standards out there that just don't need advertising. You know, there's charger brands out there that just, they don't advertise. They're little tiny companies out there, and they just make the best, and that's what I buy. Always buy the quality, always err on the side of quality.
Yes, that's right. Even if you have to spend a little bit more, you're probably best to err on the side of quality. That's good advice. Unfortunately, I think that the music's going to kick in any second here, and we'll be chased off, and we'll have to let you go. But it's been great talking to you again. I really enjoy your conversation. What's your TikTok? You started a new TikTok. You're doing some short Liberty
stuff. Yeah, it's CHUX Trash Bin.
Chuck's Trash Bin. I love it.
And
thank you so
what
much,
I do, yeah, yeah, what I do on TikTok is I ask questions. What, and most of them revolve around definitions. The last one I said, what is a protest? And for those of us who know, it's an appeal to authority.
Yes, but, it is.
But you know, what is government?
We got to go into the break, unfortunately. Stick around for a minute and come back with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Okay, so hopefully Chuck stayed with me here for just a minute because I wanted him just to – okay, cool. I wanted you to go ahead and complete that thought because I think it's important. It goes along with everything that I'm talking about in relation to what's going on out on the streets right now and the way things have changed in America over the last few months. This notion of protesting and the fact that it's an appeal to authority, that's what you were starting to say.
Exactly. It's whether you're protesting your, say you have an employer that's paying you a bad wage and your union gets together and says, hey, we're gonna picket outside the front of the business, or it's a government that's doing horrible things like murdering people and you have a bunch of people coming outside, you know, the governmental building to protest either is an appeal to authority. It's saying to that authority, hey, we don't like what you're doing, and we're hopping mad. And what I'm seeing right now is people are protesting. You know, we have a cop who goes and murders somebody in cold blood, and then they burn down AutoZone, which confuses me. The cop never gets harmed for his actions, and or they'll try to burn down the police station, and which is just replaced with a much nicer and more secure one at the taxpayer expense. I don't quite understand, you know, an employer protest, I understand that. You're probably going to get somewhere with that. You know, you can go to another employer, but you can't go to another government. So there's absolutely no incentive for that government to change, you know, anything.
Well, if our participatory government were so participation-based, we wouldn't have to protest on the street. There wouldn't be a disenfranchised group. But that's just that's the lie of the idea of a participation in government in general. The idea that you can somehow magically do things that you couldn't otherwise do as an individual, wouldn't otherwise do as an individual of any sort of principle or moral, and somehow turn that into volume after volume of dictates and social organizations and manipulations of reality that ultimately the whoever happens to be in the political class at that time can use to rob, cage, murder the rest of us.
Exactly. And I don't think, you know, telling them, hey, I'm hopping mad and, you know, we're not going to take it anymore. And we're going to hold signs. You know, if you don't do it, we're going to say, we're going to hold signs out in front of your building. You know, to me, that's not much of a persuader. I read somewhere, and I wish I could cite it, but politicians, if you don't agree with them, their chance of changing their views is about 3% with a 3% margin of error.
Hmm.
I don't remember where I read that, but apparently, yeah, it does. That's apparently what they're going to do. If you don't like it, okay, great. You know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Shut up and pay your taxes. Like, good boy.
Yeah, that sounds right. Chuck, give your TikTok again.
It's CHUX Trash Bin.
Chuck's Trash Bin. At the TikTok. There you go. All right. Yeah, I had somebody ask specifically. So, all right, brother. I appreciate your comments. I'll let you get on with the rest of your day. I'm gonna sit here and talk to myself for a little bit too. I got a couple more things to go over. I appreciate it, man. I will. I'll catch up with you a little bit later, and I'll let you know when the archive is out there.
Awesome. I'll see you online.
All right. Take care, Chuck. What a great conversation, as always. You know, that's what I like to do. But Chuck's been really fun in that respect. I like him. He's a neat guy. He's my type of guy, and I'm not a guy's guy. guys are usually, you know, they like pick on you like older brothers, kind of guys and muscle cars and always trying to one up, you know, sort of knowledge of the football teams and things like that. All those things are fine. I don't have a problem with any of that stuff, but it's just nice to hear a guy who's he is who he is. And he seems to be someone that you can take at face value when he says something and you can assume that he means it, and that it means something to him, or it wouldn't just come out of his mouth. And that's, I think that's really important when we're talking about these principled ideas. It's I, as always, I have something going on in the background. It's just the background noise. You can't hear it. I don't have it running with the volume, but I just grabbed, I was really short of time. I forgot to pull my drink out. It just wasn't cold enough yet. All that, including throwing something on just on the screen in the background. And it happened to be, it didn't happen to be South Park. It's one of the few things that I have multiple sets of on, multiple discs of on Blu-ray, so that I can just randomly grab one. And that's what I did. I just opened up one of the box sets, grabbed one of the discs, and threw it in. And the first episode on it happened to be the episode about Napster and about Metallica and the IP thing. And the conversation of IP came up again for me again this week, and we've never really resolved it here. I know that there are listeners who think that I am wrong, that I shouldn't be able to use Metallica's music or something like that, like I do for the intro, that I should pay them to be able to do that, let alone being able to download music or things, different files, stuff like that. And I don't know if I've been real clear about this, but it should be real clear for the principled individual, whatever you call yourself, if you're principled in this understanding of the law and what it is to steal something from somebody. Copying something digitally is not theft. Breaking into a server to take that unreleased information and release it, that would be theft. I don't care if it's digital or otherwise. You have to break into somebody's property to take what exists and put it out there. That's theft. That's theft. And if you can just copy a file and it's not taking that file away from somebody, and that you're not selling that file, there's no theft there. Now, listen, because I can already hear the screaming and the screeching from some of the artists back there. I'm on your side as well, and this is your fault for not understanding technology and getting behind it and realizing the use it is to you. First, anybody that cares about your music is going to want to share it with other people, and you should be grateful for that. You should want people to enjoy your work, especially in this time where the record companies aren't as important as they used to be. You know, yeah, if you want a particular set of accolades, then you have to get there somewhere along the way. But the reality is that if you want to make music and put it out there and get people to pay you for it, they will do so. All you have to do is get it to them, and they will eventually pay you for it. The people who will download it and not pay you for it, we're never going to pay you for it in the first place. So there's no loss of money. Now here's where there's a line, where I'm going to draw a line. Me and my buddies sharing some music with each other, not a crime. Somebody posting the music of someone else on their website, distributing it freely, not a crime. Charging people, I don't care if you took it and put it on a disc or anything, you cannot take an artist's work and resell it. That's where the line has to be. Because, okay, look, if you're just copying a song and sharing a song with somebody, there's no money exchanged, then there's no damage to the artist. Right? A crime, a violation of someone's person or property, actually has to have demonstrable damages. Well, there's no way to prove that there's any damage to you by your art being shared out in the world. But if somebody takes your art, takes your music, and puts it online or puts it on discs and sells them, that's theft, because you can point at your piece of work and you can go, this person that I did not give permission to use me, because you wouldn't have that work. It would be the equivalent of you taking me and forcing me to record an album for you so that you can make money on it. You can't do that. You can't take somebody else's work and sell that and make money off of it, because that right there presents demonstrable damages. You took my actual work that you could not otherwise have. It's not the same as a physical product in the real world. If somebody takes an Xbox, they buy one at the store and they pull it all apart and they plug it into their computer and they figure out how it's all made and all this, and they take their own tools and their own money and their own capital and they build a similar item, that's not the same thing. Your product is already out there in the market. So copying is not theft. It's not taking from you. The person who would buy it from them isn't going to buy it from you in the first place. For whatever reason it is, they can't afford it, or they're just an unscrupulous individual who won't pay you for your product. I don't know what I've never understood the logic behind hating copying of your product if your product is better. It's a basic economic thing. And so when you take your economics and you take your natural common law, where I didn't actually take anything from you, you can't show that I took something from you. In fact, I could argue that I've done you a favor by sharing your work out there. And if I could go out there and ask every single one of those people, I haven't done this. I don't do file sharing. Even if I did, I would say I didn't. They know, they watch. I don't, so they know that I don't. If I could go out there and ask every single one of those people if they went and spent money on, and bought an actual album from you or downloaded your songs from one of the reputable downloading places, or if they just went and listened to it for free on YouTube and you didn't make a dime, I don't know. That definitely happens. This IP question, it should be real simple. With that music thing, there's an obvious line for me, and there's people that say IP doesn't exist. Whatever, okay, fine. You argue the semantics. I'm going to argue about the actual action. Whoa, what a novel idea. This is the not just the thought process of the individual. This is why we have an actor in the law. This is the basis of law is action and the reason for action. If the reason for you taking my work as an artist is to copy my work and sell it for you to profit, and I didn't give you permission to do that, there's no question that any money you make is at least some percentage of it mine, due to me. It's mine, no matter what. Because I did not invite you, and that's the bottom line of you owning anything you create, because you couldn't still have it. The digital thing makes it a little bit different, but that's the line. If you're trying to figure it out, that's the line. That's where it is. Be happy for people using your music in their work and sharing it across. And if they make some money on it and they are able to kick some to you, be grateful for it. Be glad. But hope they give you some credit. Hopefully they talk about there's just so many more things. This has been in question for too long. This is the reason why this has been a question. And a lot of artists, by default, they end up falling back on what their record company decides for them. And that's what happened to Metallica and these other people when it came to the Napster thing. The same people that would come out and tell you about how they've been screwed over by record companies and record deals and this, that, and the other thing all through the years, and if you don't do it right, and if you don't own your work, and they just all the warnings about getting involved in the industry, and the first thing they do is get in line behind the people who were actually getting cut out of the money when it comes to sharing. And that's the middleman, the distributors. The people that you don't need to produce your art. And if they take it without your permission, just like a record company, if a record company took it without your permission and produced an album, you would, any reasonable person would use what litigation ability there is, what theft laws there are to protect their property. And if they have to come down to it, I don't see a problem with putting a bullet in somebody who's stealing your work from you and profiting from it and not cutting you in on it. That's a pretty tough thing to say, but we're talking about, again, natural law or consequences for your actions when involving other people and their property, regardless of whether you believe in their property or not. That's not the point. And I just don't know how to make this clear to people. But if it's not yours, It's not yours. It's not your property. You have no say over it. None of it. Not even the public property. Again, a small percentage of it, if you own it, if we go down that road of your entitlement to something that is public. Yes, it is Chuck's Trash Bin, C-H-U-X-T-R-A-S-H-B-I-N, Chuck's Trash Bin on TikTok. Yeah, a couple people asked about that. That's really cool. So hopefully Chuck picks up a couple of new viewers on his. It's interesting the way TikTok works. I'm going to try to take advantage of it. I don't have a lot of time left. I wanted to hit a couple of these other things. October 11th is what you're looking for. I wanted to look at the 100 best rock albums of all time. And I just wanted to know what they came up with. And I hadn't looked at it yet, so we're looking at it together now. Number 100, the Futureheads. Never heard of them. All right, let's skip way ahead. Don't know who the Futureheads are. Never heard of them. Here's something. Z, My Morning Jacket, number 25. I'm only familiar with them from them being on American Dad. There was a whole episode about My Morning Jacket on American Dad that was hilarious. We'll do the top 10 when we come back, and we'll wrap it up here on Toward Anarchy. Oh, there's a great album.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I hear something saying.
Ha. 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 Ha.
sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
TowardAnarchy.com, and you'll see right there on the front page, not in any particular order, Jason Bassler coming up next week on the show, Matthew Wojtecki, author of Brush Fire. I just have one more copy of the book to give away. That's why I didn't give away one this week. We'll wait until Matthew's here. We'll give it away. And then Ram Dennison will be on the show, as well as Bradley Thomas coming back on the show. But Jason Bassler next week. And so I just got to the top 10 and Led Zeppelin 2 is there. Fantastic. Of course, John Bonham, one of the great drummers of all time, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and John Paul Jones, just amazing artists. Let's see, Sergey Gainsbourg, I don't know it off the top of my head. Number 8, Electric Ladyland, Jimi Hendrix, that's great. Led Zeppelin, the first album, number 7. Brian Wilson Presents Smile by Brian Wilson. Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin, number 5. Number 4, Led Zeppelin 3 by Led Zeppelin. Look, you guys are just pushing. I'm calling BS on this. I love Led Zeppelin, but my God. London Calling by The Clash. Well, that's a good album. Wow. Rolling Stones, Exile on Main Street, number 2. Number 1 album, Led Zeppelin 4. Man, that is such a pop version of the history of rock and roll, and to get for those to be the top 10. I mean, come on. Let's see. Talking Heads, number 13. Actung Baby, U2, number 14. Pavements, Brighten the Corners by number 15. That's great. That's a good album. That could be higher. Let's see, under, wow, I'm surprised at some of the stuff that, how is this stuff even on the list if it's not higher up? Elephant by the White Stripes, Iggy Pop, The Stooges, Raw Power. How is any of this stuff even on if it's not higher on the, some of this just be higher on the list? This is some great stuff. In Utero, Nirvana at 23, Arcade Fire's Funeral at 22, Primal Scream. Wow. There's My Morning Jacket again. Bob Dylan, Modern Times, number 27. Interesting. Great albums. Another Nirvana. Which one? Where'd he go? I just saw The Hair. Never Mind at number 29. There's some amazing. I don't know how you put any of this stuff in order, people. I'm like, I just always say, oh, yeah, that's one of my top favorites. And I just never give. I couldn't tell you what number one is because you could run 1,000 different bands in front of my ears and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. Super Unknown by Soundgarden at 35. It's all rock albums. They're calling them rock albums. So there's not going, you won't catch any country or anything like that. There's definitely stuff I've never heard of. And there's other stuff that I'm like, wow, how is that? How did that not get higher on the list? Jason Bassler, Free Thought Project, next weekend on the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. You take care. I'll see you next week on Toward Anarchy.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.